friends, and welcome back to my sunroom. Today, I'm not in my sunroom. I'm still kind of in a sunroom. I'm in my niece's playroom at my in-law's house. Me and Mike are babysitting one of our nieces while our other one is taking a taekwondo test for her next belt. I'm not sure. I think she's a yellow belt right now. She's the cutest little girl in her little taekwondo uniform. But yeah, coming from my niece's playroom, I'm going to be talking about religion today, as I mentioned in the last episode. This is kind of a heavier topic. There's a lot I want to say, and I want to preface it all by saying that I have no interest in trying to convince anyone that what they believe in is wrong or stupid or that they need to change. You can believe in whatever you want, whatever makes you happy and makes you feel like you can get through life. I just want to share my personal relationship with religion and spirituality, especially as someone who once did believe in Christianity. I grew up in a Christian church, and I think it's important to have these perspectives out there, especially because as someone who is agnostic or atheist, we are the minority in the world, and there, from what I have seen, is a lot of negative stigma towards not believing in any particular religion. And so I guess I'm just trying to maybe change that a little bit, put some maybe views out there that some of you may have never heard. So yeah, I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm just sharing what I believe and think. So I will start with sharing, I guess, my history with religion. I did mention before that my parents, my dad was military, but both of my parents were leaders in the church that I grew up in. So my dad was a pastor and my mom was an evangelist. And the church that I was a part of, Tower of Deliverance Fellowship, which sounds kind of intense every time I say it, it was kind of built by people who were also in the military. And we had what were called study centers, which were essentially small church buildings in different places throughout the world, mostly in the US, but there were a couple, I think, overseas. And that way, whenever the military would move people, there was potential for, you know, you to be able to move to a place where there was another study center and you could continue to go to church within TODF, Tower of Deliverance Fellowship. And so I grew up pretty much from birth, I believe, as a member of this church. And it was non-denominational. And yeah, my parents had, as far back as I can remember, my parents had some kind of role, leadership role in the church. And so I grew up within the church, having to go to church at least once a week, go to Bible study. And the kids, the people that were also members of the church became sort of my family. Because my dad was military and I moved around a lot, I didn't really ever grow up near any of my blood relatives, my cousins, aunts, and uncles, but I did have a pretty close relationship with what I consider my church family. And I mean, a lot of them, like I said, have known me since I was a baby. So I do feel like I grew up in a very loving community of people who cared for me. As far as my personal relationship to Christianity, I was forced to believe in Jesus and in God, forced to go to church, forced to read the Bible, forced to pray. And so naturally, I think, and I wasn't really given a ton of opportunities to question my beliefs. And so for most of my childhood, I did truly believe that, you know, Jesus Christ was my savior and that I needed to pray to God whenever I needed anything or couldn't understand something going on in my life. But there was a lot of confusion around that. When I did ask questions, usually the answers that I would receive often confused me more or just didn't make sense. And so I would say while I did believe mostly because it was what I was told to, there was always this underlying sense of, I'm not sure about this, even from a young age, but I went along with it. There was also like this sense of anxiety around the beliefs because in Bible study, I wanted to understand. I wanted to be able to answer questions and to be able to recite scriptures with a full understanding of what they were saying and what I was talking about. But because it wasn't something that I fully understood, I was always afraid of being wrong or, yeah, like misinterpreting things. And I don't think that this is something that the adults in my life, my church family, or my parents really recognized in me, that sense of confusion and anxiety. And so it was never addressed. And so this didn't really lay a great foundation for me and my relationship to God and Jesus and Christianity. Despite that, I did end up choosing to get baptized when I was 16. Now, this is kind of an interesting story because I was 16 or 17, and I don't remember what it was that I got in trouble about. I got in trouble for doing something really stupid, and I felt shame, and I felt like I needed to, I disappointed my parents, and I felt like the best thing I could do to make my parents happy again, to please them and get rid of their disappointment in me, was to get baptized. Talk about people pleasing. I decided to get baptized, and I think there was a part of me that genuinely believed that I was giving my life to God. But there was definitely a part of me that was just like, I'm going to do this because I know it's going to make my parents happy after whatever it was that I did. I honestly can't remember. But yeah, so I got baptized. And I feel like my life didn't really change after that, other than the fact that I had to go to more Bible studies now that I was Sister Ayanna Gill. And yeah, when I left home and started meeting people who did not believe in Christianity, whether they didn't believe in any religion, didn't go to church or anything, or were of a different religion, that started making me question my beliefs even more, especially because the way I was raised, the things I was taught were things like being gay is wrong, and if you don't accept Jesus as your savior, you're gonna go to hell, things like that. And the people, the non-believers and the people of differing views from mine that I was meeting throughout my young adulthood were, I believed, genuinely kind people who I didn't want to believe that they were sinners. I didn't want to believe I was a sinner, knowing that I, you know, have always wanted to try and be a good person. Yeah, so especially in the military when I was learning Hebrew, all my teachers were native Israelis, and well, one of them was Egyptian and three of them were Israeli, and my Egyptian teacher was Muslim and my other three teachers were Jewish. And they are some of the kindest people still to this day that I've ever met. Very generous, very understanding and empathetic and compassionate. And I think they are what really triggered my move away from believing in Christianity. I just couldn't bring myself to believe that they were going to go to hell because they didn't believe in Jesus. And also, Mike has always been an atheist, and I was regularly having conversations with him and other people who grew up differently than me about religion. And it just, you know, got my brain going on questioning and really asking, do I believe this stuff? And like looking at the way I was raised and the things that I was taught and just finally realizing how much didn't make sense to me. And it was scary at first because this is something that I grew up in. This is something that, you know, I trusted my parents to guide me in the right direction. And I also didn't want to disappoint them and in having to tell them that I no longer believe in what they taught me. And so I think there was definitely a lot of hesitation, anxiety, a lot of pushback internally about me moving away from Christianity. But I will say once I got past that and decided to, you know, really dig deep into what it is that I believe for myself, I kind of released that and allowed myself to choose for myself what it is that I believe in. I also want to say that I never really had any negative experiences in the church. I don't have any like church hurt that makes me feel a certain type of way about Christianity as a whole. I feel like the community that I was a part of was very loving and caring, like I said. You know, I think a lot of people who turn away from Christianity or religion in general, sometimes it's because they've had negative experiences, and that can kind of, you know, taint their idea of religion as a whole. And I just don't have that. It's just something that I've gradually pushed away from because it has never felt 100% right for me. So now I want to get more into like why I don't believe in any religion. What led me to like really think about whether or not I believed in Christianity or any other religion? I have always tried to, since becoming an adult and getting out on my own, I'm always trying to learn about different cultures and religions and philosophies. And one thing that seems to be true about religion, and especially the Abrahamic religions, is that the religious texts are left up to a lot of interpretation. And it's often, you know, you're taking in interpretations from other people. So if I go to church and I listen to a sermon, I'm taking in what this pastor has interpreted from the Bible, for example. And that means whatever I'm taking in and accepting as truth that is, you know, supposedly coming from God, I'm taking in these interpretations from this person. And those interpretations are kind of what I'm using to live my life through. And that means this person's influencing me. And this could be good or bad. In some cases, you know, the sermon is actually has some truth in it and can, you know, help me through tough situations. But other times interpretations could be wrong and misleading and sometimes even deceitful, inaccurate. And I just don't want to live my life using other people's interpretations of religious texts that have been translated and changed throughout so many years as a guide for my life. I'm also very hesitant to do that because there are tens of thousands of Christian denominations and therefore at least that many different interpretations of the Bible and how we should live. And I feel like if the Bible, for example, was a clear instruction manual, basically, of how humans ought to live, I feel like there wouldn't be so many ways of interpreting it. I feel like it would be clear, but instead, from my experience in reading it and hearing, you know, scriptures and sermons, it's very nebulous and obscure and vague. And I just feel like if there was a God that wanted us to live a certain way, it wouldn't be that way. It would be very clear. To kind of give an example of this, there are millions of Christians who believe that being gay is a sin. And then there are other millions that believe that it's totally fine and that God made gay people that way and does not care who they sleep with. So it's just kind of, I don't know, it's interesting to me. And along the same lines with religion in general, I'm just not convinced that any of the 10,000 plus religions out there are any more true than the other. And people have asked me, you know, how can you not believe in God? Like, how can you just believe in yourself or that, you know, nothing happens after we die? And I think this is such an interesting question. And I have started answering by saying that I'm only choosing to not believe in one more God than you. If you are refuting all of the other gods aside from your own, out of the 10,000 plus religions that are out there, I'm only believing in one less. So yeah, I've always thought it was kind of weird when people would ask like, how could you not believe in God? Like, you don't believe in so many gods. I'm not doing anything more really than you are. I also think it's necessary to acknowledge you know, based on history and current events, that religion has led to a lot of oppression and violence and tons of war, again, due to people's interpretations of their religious texts. And I don't know, I feel like it's easy to ignore that, especially if it's not something you are dealing with in your personal life, but it's not something that I can ignore and just kind of turn a blind eye to. I don't think that religion is inherently bad. It's just not something that I personally value or need in my life. So now, what do I believe in? There are a few things that I trust very much, that I have faith in, I guess. One being my intuition. I trust my gut when it comes to people and figuring out if they have my best interest at heart, if they really care about me. I listen to that gut feeling when, you know, something feels off about someone, or a situation. I try to have situational awareness and trust in my gut when something just feels off. And up until now, you know, I feel like I've made really good decisions in my life. And that's not to say my life has definitely not been perfect. I've made mistakes and I have been in situations, unsafe situations. But for the most part, when I listen to my gut and follow my intuition, I thankfully have, you know, and everything ends up being okay. I end up being okay. I'm still here. So that's proof of that. I also believe in my values. I know deep down that I aspire to be a good person in everything that I do. And that desire is what guides me in how I treat others, how I treat myself, and how I treat the planet, my environment. And then kind of with the gut feeling and intuition, I also believe in my nervous system. My body often knows things before I do. And so I listen, I trust it. When I'm feeling anxious or afraid or excited, I slow down. I try to slow down and get curious about what's making me feel that way before I make decisions. Or I look back at situations and I think about, you know, what was it about this situation that made me feel this way? And that can kind of inform me and my decision making in the future. Yeah, so those are the things that I believe in very heavily and I trust in. And that is honestly enough for me. Along with, you know, I have a very supportive community all throughout the world. I have friends and chosen family that I trust in and can rely on and who I feel very supported and loved by. And those things are enough for me in my life. And I feel like that is enough for me to get through anything in life. Now, as far as like an afterlife, at the end of the day, I believe that when we die, we probably will return to whatever state we were in before we were born. I don't know about you, but I don't have any recollection of what it was like before I was born. And so I'm going to assume that means I'm going to go back to whatever that was. And, you know, that seems like it could just be no longer existing. And I'm okay with that. I'd rather accept that as a possibility rather than letting it scare me into believing in something that doesn't feel right to me. I'd rather accept that than like, yeah, picking something that is going to tell me how to live. I do, however, hope that we are more than just our brains and their neural networks. I hope, and I want to emphasize the hope part, because I don't necessarily believe that this is the case. I hope that the energy that powers our brain is somehow a part of all of the energy that is in the universe, and that when we die, it'll continue off in some form or fashion. Don't know what that is, but, you know, that would be cool, right? Consciousness is an energy that neither science or religion can definitively explain. So I'm not going to go around, you know, living like I know the answers. I'm going to stay curious about it and, you know, yeah, hope that somehow, some way it continues. There's also the question of morality and what pushes me to want to be a good person. If it's not going to be God or, you know, wanting a certain afterlife. And I don't know what that is. I genuinely just want to be a good person. I don't think that has anything to do with my upbringing. I think I just naturally want to be kind and empathetic and compassionate towards people. That's just the type of person that I am. So yeah, I think it's pretty clear that bad things can happen to anyone, whether you're a good person or a bad person. And so fear of something bad happening to me is not really, you know, on my mind when I'm, you know, trying to be a good person. I do think, though, that you're more likely to have good things happen to you if you are kind to others and if you do care about more than just yourself. I think if you care about your community and you take care of other people, those people will care about you and take care of, support you in some ways. I think if you put positivity out in the world, in some ways, it will return back to you. And I've experienced that. That's kind of the life that I live. I am surrounded by such kind, generous, compassionate people. I have really healthy relationships in my life. And I think that is in part due to the energy that I put out, the kind of person I try to be, the way I treat my friends and family. Now, if I can get a little woo-woo with you, I love having conversations about the possibilities of the afterlife and like what consciousness is. So if this is too much, you know, it's okay. You can fast forward through this. I get it. But I feel like these kinds of conversations are cool and interesting to have. So the closest I'd say I'm to believing in God is that I think we are all connected in some way. I believe we as humans have an innate ability to create, and that means we have sort of like a godlike power. Like being able to create is godlike to me, whether that's through writing or gardening, raising children, making pottery for in my case, cooking. I think we all have the ability to create, and I think that could be one of the reasons why we exist, to create, to make things as human beings. Along those same lines, I think we could just be the universe trying to experience itself. Like maybe I'm this tiny itsy bitsy piece of the universe existing as this, in this form as Ayana, for however long my life is gonna last. And then when I die, I, this little piece of the universe, just return back to like a collective consciousness or big amorphous blob of energy. I don't know. Either way, the idea of that seems way more freeing and creative and interesting and way less oppressive and contradictory than any of the religions that I've ever come across or studied. So, yeah. To close, I want to say that if you are trying to figure out what it is that you believe in, please know that you can find peace and acceptance in things outside of religion. I and millions of people are living proof of that. I believe there is enough love and joy and peace in community, nature, and creativity for you to lean on throughout your life, regardless of your circumstances, and for you to thrive and live a full life. That's not something that I have ever felt like religion preaches. I have seen, you know, a lot of things online and a lot of religious leaders and speakers saying that we need to believe in God in order to feel complete and full. And I just, yeah, I don't think so. I don't believe that. So believe what you want, but that's not what I believe. So I guess that's all. For my Sharing is Caring segment, I want to share one of my favorite podcasts is back for a new season. It's A What Now by Trevor Noah. I really like Trevor Noah. I think he's funny, but I also think he is a very, very great conversationalist. I think he knows a lot of really interesting people and interviews them on his podcast every week. His perspective as a South African is really interesting to hear. And I think he's very nuanced in his thinking and conversations with people in a way that is not very common. He's open to a lot of things, and I appreciate that about him. So yeah, please check out that podcast. I would say if you want to start somewhere, I really anything, scroll through the podcast feed and see what intrigues you. But I really like his episode that he did interviewing Esther Perel. And I also really like his episodes where he does with his friends this game called If I Ruled the World. And they each present a rule that they would create if they ruled the world for a day. And they're really interesting rules that, you know, maybe most people wouldn't think of. So yeah, that's one. And then this group called Hiatus Coyote, I think that's how you say it, created a playlist on Spotify called Baby Love. I'm gonna put it in the description below, but it is so good. It's just a mix of a lot of different music from around the world, and some of it can be a bit much. It's very unique, a lot of different sounds, and yeah, some of it can be a little intense, a little too weird, but I'm sure you will find some songs in there that are just a vibe, or like put your nervous system at ease, or, you know, there's a lot of different stuff in there. And like I said, it's music from around the world, so there's a lot of things in different languages. And yeah, it's a really cool playlist. I would definitely recommend that you check it out. Lastly, I recommend you all right now go on your phones and put a 20-minute timer on your screen time for all the social media apps. Like, just do it. Even if you spend more than 20 minutes on social media, like, it'll alert you once you've hit 20 minutes, and it'll either force close the app, or you can select to ignore the timer. But I find that I have this on my phone, and I've found that it just forces me every now and then to stop scrolling. It adds that little bit of friction that kind of pulls me out of doom scrolling, or just, yeah, sitting on my phone when I know I don't need to be. And this has helped like improve my mental health. So I highly recommend that, especially if you are chronically online, like the majority of people these days. Another little way I do this of like creating friction for being on the social media apps is, at least on the iPhone, you can have hidden apps where, in order to open, so one, it hides the app icon from you, and you have like in the app menu, I guess, at the very bottom, there's a hidden little bubble and it's just blank. And when you click it, you have to put in your Face ID or your passcode in order to open it. And I found that putting Instagram, Facebook, or whatever in that one, it keeps me from seeing the apps when I first open my phone, because typically if I see them, no matter what I open my phone for, that's like often the first app that I'll go to, just because I get distracted. But if it's not something that I see immediately, then I'm less likely to click it, less likely to start scrolling. And then also that added friction of, oh, I need to do this additional step to get to the scrolling, that sometimes keeps me from opening the app as well. So I'm like, I don't want to do this extra step. And I think it's just little things like that to trick our brains into not doing things that, you know, deep down we know are not good for us. So yeah, that's all. That's all I have for you guys today. I'm happy to continue these conversations in the comments or in my DMs. Shoot me a text if you have my number. But yeah, that's going to be all for today. I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm going to talk about next week. I have a long list of topics that I want to talk about, but I'm not sure what I'm going to choose and feel up to talking to you guys for. Wow, I've been talking for 40 minutes. Yeah, not sure, but I'll be back next week, I think, hopefully. So thanks for hanging out with me, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.